card, though.
Oh, man. All right, everybody. Welcome to a brand new edition of the Swift Kicks podcast. I'm Alex. With me, as always, is Nate. Steve is dealing with something. And Ben, we don't know, got lost. Took a left turn instead of a right. He said he'll be here. Yeah, he may be being held ransom. He said he'll be here in 2 minutes. That was 5 minutes ago. So math, not a strong suit of Ben's. Funnily enough, we both went to the same school. So that's a problem. This episode, we're pretty pumped about this episode, actually, for a different reason than usual. Normally, we kind of rag on the MLS a little bit, but we're going to get deep into MLS today. So, Nate, I hope you brushed up. It's not going to be about Charlotte. It's going to be about St. Louis City FC, or SC, excuse me, and a fan podcast, a fan-based podcast, independent media, and their legal troubles with Kansas City. Using club funds to go after a bunch of dudes sitting on a podcast, having fun, talking soccer.
Just like us. First they come for our podcast neighbor, then they come for me.
Right. For just you.
Or just me.
They're coming for you, Nate. They're coming. So let's just start there with MLS. How's Charlotte doing?
Charlotte's doing much to be desired for.
Are they off the bottom?
I think we are still need to check the table if the firewall permits.
I could tell you, you are one off of bottom. You are 14th place.
We got a draw over the weekend. It's just tough right now. You know, it's kind of like how we started last season, really slow, but we still we could have easily won every single game. It's like, I don't know if anyone's seen, for the viewers, St. Louis has been I'm getting this out of the way. St. Louis, that guy, Joao Klaus, beast. He's a big. First, I thought he was German. He's actually Brazilian. He's been gifted like four goals. There's been four goals that he has not been assisted. He's been assisted directly by the other team. So we were one of those. I feel like every game we could have won this year, but unfortunately, we only have one win, three losses, and minus five goal differential. So. That's bad. It's bad.
Speaking of bad, my tease for what's coming up. We have Sean from the aforementioned podcast that was at the center of the legal suit with Kansas City. He's going to be coming on. They are now the River City Ramble, if I'm not mistaken. I am not mistaken. That is their new name. We'll tell you what their old name was in a little bit. And he's coming on. He's going to explain the whole situation. Ben's trying to give me a phone call. Should we take a phoner?
Yes. A live caller.
We got a live caller. Hello.
Hello. I need the link.
I got you.
Ben, the link should be in your email.
I'm in my email. It won't work.
Nate's going to resend you the link.
Hang on. Let's try one more thing. Maybe.
All right, Ben.
This is live, everybody.
What's up? Decided to jump on when I want. All right, cool.
All right, Ben.
This is great podcast material.
Yeah, it's great content. This is what we're here for. You're welcome.
This guy's going to come on.
Nobody's doing us. Fucking
all right, nobody's ben, check your inbox. You got mail.
Maybe for incompetency.
Whatever the podcast like awards that. Are.
Yeah, for worst podcast of the year. Most unimproved.
Ben should win the award for best Snapchat filters over the weekend. Wow. Great Snapchat filters from Ben.
My Snapchat game is straight fire.
you and the cute little baby.
Okay. Mini Cooper going up on Snapchat?
What was that?
I said the Mini Cooper.
Yeah, going up on Snapchat. I think they were Elvis's at one point. Maybe Elvis's. At one point, they had like a Flava Flav kind of big chain thing going on. It was tasteful.
I'd like to like say it. That I think my Gmail was hacked by North Korea. That's why I'm late.
Is that why? Okay. keeping you from.
I just got about 65 emails in the last 2 seconds. So thanks, Kim Jong-un.
One of them apparently was the link to this podcast. Somebody else that got the link to this podcast. I'm going to bring in our guest, everybody. I was teasing him a little bit earlier. Let's bring him in. It's Sean, quote, the cave dweller, Campbell.
Yes. That's a bit of a well-kept secret that's not well-kept at all. Recording area I use here, we refer to as the soccer cave on my podcast.
Nice. I think Nate, he referred to where I come from as like a ISIS prison cell holding center or something once. So at JFK. So that's, I'll put that in quotes on the bottom of my name. But anyway, Sean, welcome to the Swift Kicks podcast. We're glad to have you on.
Thank you very much for having me. It's, I'm always glad to talk soccer whenever I get a chance.
Yeah, perfect. And you guys are at the center of just a kind of a crazy, I mean, it's really an MLS Twitter crazy controversy, but a little battle with Kansas City. I don't know how much, too much you can get into the whole legal issue of everything that happened, but if you want to take it away and just sort of tell us what the deal is.
Yeah. I'll just keep it quick to a quick timeline. Sure. Originally the Mike and Mason, my co-host, started the show in May of 2021. And then the original filing date for the trademark of Soccer Capital of America was in July of that same year.
And just to stop, that was what your original podcast was called in 2020.
It was originally, the podcast was just called Soccer Capital with an O, but they had put a trademark in for Soccer Capital of America with an AL instead of the OL. They ended up getting registered the following July. It was either June or July of 2022. We did not hear from them until February 16th, I believe it was, of this year. And they said, hey, we just want to have a chat. We think you might be infringing on a trademark we have. And myself and the other guys, we got together and we're like, well, what do we do here? So we talked to a couple of friends. We did some quick Google searches to see if we even had a leg to stand on. But considering there was no technical legal proceedings being offered there, we said we're going to keep rolling under the Soccer Capital name. But we should probably think about having a backup plan for when, if/when they actually come out after us.
Yeah.
With any actual legal action. And then about a week or two ago, we got an email saying, hey, look, if you guys don't stop, we're going to have to bring legal, pursue legal remedies to the situation. And that's when we said, okay, well, we'll put out our statement. We put out the statement, and we got an overwhelming amount of support from independent media and podcasters like you guys all across the country, really just saying, yeah, no, this is straight up a team coming after a small time, no profit whatsoever for us. Yeah. Just doing this out of a labor of love. But the real big kicker on the whole thing was the original email we got identified themselves as a vice president and general counsel for Sporting Kansas City themselves, not just for the KTP LLC, Kansas Trading Partners, that they also are general counsel for, that is actually the holder of the trademark.
Oh, so interesting.
That really kind of, that one stuck in my craw real bad. Yeah. Especially because originally I was a Sporting Kansas City fan. I used to have a few of those scarves up here along the wall, but I took those down immediately once I saw that an actual VP from the team was coming after us. I had already kind of started to switch over, but at that point it's over and done with now.
Yeah. Where do those scarves go? Do they go in a box under the bed? Do they go in a fire pit, in a trash can?
Currently they're sitting in my closet. Okay. And I believe we're working with the St. Luligans to do a bit of an amnesty day where we can get together. And anyone that was formerly a Sporting fan that's now a City fan can bring all jerseys, scarves, what have you, and we'll donate it to, a shelter somewhere, likely in the Kansas City area, so that, they at least can rep their hometown team. We can kind of purge our demons and we no longer are going to be ridiculed by our fellow fans because we're fully supporting the city red and blue.
Nice. Do you think any of this has to do with the fact they couldn't afford Ronaldo?
I would love to think so, but I think at that point they'd probably be more mad over the fact that Klaus is just turning out to be so much better than we thought. But the timing wouldn't really fit that one per se.
Yeah, so Sean, I got to say, just to deviate real quick from what we were talking about, I'm a Charlotte FC fan, so I'm an early, recent franchisee, such as yourself. I'm very jealous of your success. Almost I'm kind of developing a little hate crush on Joao Klaus and the rest of your team. I don't know how short you guys are of the record, or maybe you've already beaten the record of most points taken as a first-time MLS team in their inaugural season. I think you're two games off from having perfect record. So, yeah.
Yeah, the best start for MLS club, for an expansion club, was 5 in a row by us. The current best record for any start in MLS, not including the shootout era, is 7 wins in a row by the team from Kansas, as we refer to them so lovingly now.
Yeah, that's a great asterisk to have, is not including the shootout era. What a wild, wild west era that was.
Right? I mean, it was the late 90s. Shootouts were all the rage. It was a whole thing. And it really only happened once, and it was, I believe it was 97 or 98, and it was the LA Galaxy that did it. So there's really only one other team that did it. It just would be a little bit sweeter to hit that 7th by beating Sporting Kansas City to take their record away from them. I think that would be very, very well poetic is the word I'm looking for.
Does that happen to Matt? That lands on your 7th match?
No, definitely not. Okay. We don't.
That would be poetic justice. That would be. Oh wow.
I think we could hit double digits if we can continue this winning streak all the way up to that match. It would put us in double digits.
That's amazing. So you kind of laid out the timeline there. You said you started in 2021, and this was obviously before St. Louis was in the MLS, mm-hmm. right? Like you started when they were down. Were they in USL 1?
At the time when Mike and Mason actually started the show, all we had was a name and a logo and a love for the team and wanting to start it up. As we started getting news rolling in, Mike and Mason said, we need a third person who knows a little bit more about the sport and a little bit different perspective. Having that third voice is always good. Yeah. So they reached out to me, and I originally thought I was just going to be a guest host for a couple episodes because, you know, I was a Sporting guy. so that was your role.
Me too. I inched my way in here. Yeah.
He slid in our DMs.
I like stayed on the couch for a little too long, and they just like, I'm still paying rent. So,
hey, you know, however it works. But once you find that good group, it works real well. But as news started to roll out, we started getting more in depth and picking up, like we'd go to academy games together and watch the U16s, U17s play. We'd talk about that when we had it. There was, I think, 3 weeks in a row, we talked about grass because that's all we had for the team. But then as the season picked up and we went through MLS Next Pro in that inaugural season, that was a wild ride following them all the way through the playoffs too. Oh my goodness. But yeah, it started out with nothing but a team name and a logo and a dream. And here we are today being arguably the most viral thing on MLS Twitter at the moment.
Yeah, that is pretty sweet. Speak about, you touched again on a little bit of like the reaction that you've gotten from like people, obviously like us, but other podcasts and other people like that. Like what's been sort of the most surprising? Who's been the biggest name to reach out to you?
Actually, the biggest surprise, like we've had some big names, like Taylor Twellman retweeted our mm-hmm. statement. That was cool. Being a hometown boy, but the most surprising thing was actually we just had a couple days ago, Olive and York reached out to us, the merch company. They reached out to us and said, hey, we already have a design and we already have a story that we want to put with it. We're ready to go on pre-order. Just give us the go ahead so we can actually slap your logo on there and we'll run it. Excuse me. And we'll give you guys a cut of it. And there we and we said, well, we'd be stupid not to do this. So we went and did it, and now they're available. I believe awesome. The link should be on our show page if you want to be able to pull that up.
That's the company that we talked to about the Grant Wall jerseys, right?
I think we did.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull it up here.
They were coming out with a lot of cool stuff after the U.S. men's team.
They've popped up a couple times. That's awesome. That's very cool. They seem
the jerseys are absolutely sick, if I do say so myself.
Yeah. I'm on the
I took a look at them before we hopped on, and they do a good job. I like some of the mock kits they did for the World Cup, like alternatives. That is cool. Do you have one? I'm surprised you're not wearing one right now.
They're actually just on pre-order at the moment. Okay. And then it's going to be, I believe, 4 to 6 weeks after the pre-order is closed. So they should be here just in time for the Sporting KC match. One of them. I'm not sure if anyone could see it as well on the stream here, but they have our logo kind of watermarked across the bottom left side of the jersey as well. And I just thought that was a really nice touch.
That's cool.
I can't wait to get mine. It might be a little bit later than I would like to, but you know, having one's going to be nice.
You guys been working on chants? Like, I feel like you need a good chant for that, and it has to involve "Don't censor us."
I tend to leave that part up to the Florida Noise boys and gals, because that's their forte. If I have a suggestion, I'll mention it to them in like on Twitter or something, or when I see them at a pregame extravaganza, as we call it. But no, that's what they do. They're dedicated to it. I tend to leave that to them.
That's awesome.
But every now and again, I'm sure an organic one's going to pop up somewhere in the stadium and it'll catch on, and we can't stop that. So.
Fair enough. Alex, I don't know why you were muted. This is a podcast. I didn't know we had a mute function. Like,
there is always a mute function. Yeah, if you look hard enough, you will find it everywhere.
You shouldn't have, you couldn't hear what I was talking about, Kansas. It was not worthy of the podcast.
Oh no,
I was gonna ask.
We might be careful now. You might get yourself a cease and desist letter from their vice president too.
That's okay. They'll be busy.
Yeah.
Just wait.
And Sean, speaking of that, at any point did, you know, I know we talked about a little bit, like, you know, we don't have a box to stand on here. They're a multi-million dollar MLS club. You know, we have, you know, sub 1,000 followers. We can't fight this. At any point, did you want to say, like, screw it? Like, let's go. Let's try to do something here for maybe a brief moment. Did you want to, you know, try to maybe pipe back at him a little bit, or were you just kind of, you know, not worth it?
I definitely had my own personal thoughts where I was like, maybe we should find some way to really do something, but nothing came of it. We decided it was best to just kind of, you know, we weren't going to fight it. It did not make any sort of sense. At best, we could see if the team could, you know, St. Louis City could help us out with any of it, because they also were selling scarves that said Soccer Capital with an AL. So this was active merch that was up at the time we received the communication. So we had to send that up to the team in case they got in trouble. But there just wasn't any point in fighting it, and anything that, you know, we say or do against the team or against the podcast that was somehow dragged into it, that really were unrelated, had nothing to do with the whole thing. It just wouldn't make sense. We just need to support our team and hit them where it hurts on the scoreboard and in the standings, and let the team on the pitch do the talking for us and show them which town really is the proper historical soccer capital of America. And in case, if you guys wanted to, I could really go in deep on some deep cut facts about St. Louis's soccer history, but I don't want to bore you with the details.
No, please do. I was actually going to bring up, I know the Athletic picked up the story. I sent it around to the guys, and they did like a pretty good, decent dive into the fact of like how there's, was it from the 1950 U.S. men's national team, how many of the players were from St. Louis. And I think they even referenced back to like an LA Times article. I don't know if it was in the 40s or 50s. I can't remember, but it mentioned St. Louis as being the soccer capital of America. It's just like, there's that precedent there already.
it's been that way for a long time. And outside of that World Cup team that beat England in 1950, the U.S. men's national team really started in St. Louis. It's a roundabout way of saying it, but the man that started the whole team, the original USSF, I don't believe that was the original acronym, but his name was, I believe, Tim Cahill. He was the man, he was living in, he spent most of his life living in St. Louis after he moved out of, I want to say it was New York area, moved to St. Louis and put together that first men's national team and brought them over to Sweden, and they played in Norway. And this was back in like 1910 or around that time. So it was, it really started in St. Louis, and a lot of the identity that we associate with today's U.S. men's national team comes from that tradition and style of play that started all the way back over 100 years ago and gave the European teams absolute fits. And I think a nice little touch is that a little bit of that has made its way into the St. Louis City team and formation that is on the pitch now, almost bring us back full circle now that we have a professional team on the field again.
So could you say that Gio Reyna's great-great-grandfather was one of the founding members of the USSF in St. Louis?
I don't know about that one. I'm going to be careful there. I might get called out by Claudio, and next thing you know, I'm going to be kicked off a podcast just like Berhalter booted from the coach.
You can come on to ours.
He'll be writing letters to us in the next 20 minutes anyway. out of curiosity, how involved in it is Anheuser-Busch with St. Louis?
Like with the team or with the city?
With the team. We know with the city, right? Like,
okay. I was going to say with the city, yeah. It's basically the lifeblood.
Yeah.
When it comes to the team, I think the closest you're going to get is you can buy Budweiser products in the stadium.
Yeah.
A lot of what's been done as far as watch parties for the fans outside or on away games, any sort of like merchandising has really been done more on the local level with, we've done a lot. The Luligans have done a lot with Schlafly and Second Shift Brewing. But Budweiser AB just hasn't, they've shown up to a couple of events, but it's usually like the big citywide events. But a lot of the real support has come from the craft beer at Schlafly and Second Shift.
I feel like, if I was put in your position, I would have sent Kansas City's legal team a case of Natty Light, right? And just been like,
hey, relax a little. Say, hey, yeah, have one of these. Out. Take a freaking chill pill.
Welcome, St. Louis pride right here.
No, we would have sent him the beer brewed specifically for the Luligans. It's called Brewligans.
That's awesome.
And it's actually quite good beer through Second Shift. If you ever find it, it's definitely worth a try.
You let us know who, and we'll call him and make that show up on this show pretty quickly.
Beautiful.
And not in the sense of we're going to try to muscle our way into St. Louis there.
Yeah.
Kansas City. Man, I don't know. I just feel, yeah, I think Nate said it well. We kind of envy you guys. It's awesome. Like, it's not great, yeah. But it's also not terrible, right? Like, you got your name out there. You got in front of some people. At some point, I do think Natty Light would have chilled the whole situation out, but they're not cool.
Yeah, I think if we could have settled it over a beer or two, and I think everything would have been okay. But this really has been arguably one of the best things to ever happen to us. We were fully expecting, all right, we're dropping the statement just to let people know, hey, here's our new name. We're now River City Ramble, just so you can still come find us and listen to us, because for some, we joke about it ourselves all the time. Why would anyone want to come listen to us just ramble on about this and about sports in general? And then here we are doubling our listenership in about 24 hours, all because we said, hey, someone told us to change our name. It's a rival team. Now we're changing our name. And now we're just.
Did any of you wanted to be like, look, here's the deal. We're dumping them. They're not dumping us. Like, any of you want to just be like, F these guys. We don't want to associate with those people and go that route.
I mean,
we're kicking
that, I don't think that really ever crossed our minds. We were usually pretty along the lines of, you know, we just don't want to get in any trouble. We don't want to cause too many problems. But we want to still be able to do our hobby and talk about the game that we all love and our fans love together.
I'll say it with tongue in cheek. If push came to shove, I'd do the exact same thing, just for the record. Like, I can talk tough when I get to, when I have that liberty.
Twitter fingers.
Exactly.
Keyboard warrior syndrome.
Yeah.
Exactly. Ultimate troll. I'll wear a Rangers jersey next week when Rangers beat Celtic in the SPFL because Steve, who's not here, is a Celtic guy. So I got to ask.
I'm not going to let Mason hear that one. He's also a big Celtic guy.
Oh, nice. Man, we should introduce him and Steve and just leave him alone in a room.
Steve can finally get a friend.
Leave him alone in a room.
Right. Yeah. I can't help myself, but there appears to be two flags that don't match the rest. Like, there's some really, really cool flags on your wall, and then there's these Spurs flags. What's up with that? You big Spurs guy?
Oh, yeah. So, like, there's – I still can't remember which side it is. The camera's mirrored. So this one is actually from STL FC, the old USL team.
That's pretty cool.
This one is it was from a friendly against Bayern Munich that I got in a swap. But the Spurs flags, the Spurs scarves, those actually come because I've had a deep seated love of Tottenham Hotspur ever since Gareth Bale first started coming up in that system. Because that was about the time that I had to switch over from being a player in, you know, growing up, and then I wanted to still be involved in the sport somehow, so I became a fan first and foremost. And Gareth Bale was the hot young son. And I was like, all right, I'm gonna follow Tottenham Hotspur, and
don't we all fall for Spurs the hot?
Thank God he got St. Louis, man.
hey, we're sitting in a Champions League spot at the moment. Okay, it's respectable.
Yeah. Without a coach, but you're here or there. So, how did you find the sport? I love asking all of our guests that question. Like, what is it about the sport that's so special to you?
Well, it's just been in the blood of this city for so long that when you're growing up as a kid, most in a lot of towns, there's always that one sport that everyone plays growing up, whether it's through the church league or just there's all kinds of leagues for it. Soccer is that one sport here in St. Louis. It's always been played. It's just every church has a team and for every grade that they have available. So I played for my church for 8 years, 9 if you count kindergarten, and, you know, earliest memories I have of the sport were just being on the field and running around kicking the ball and having the best time ever. And so it just kind of stuck around, and I wanted to stay involved with it as I grew older, and I had to do it as a fan because I just couldn't play anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. We all hit that age.
Yeah. I think
we're not on the youngest one here.
Yeah. What playing as a center back and playing, you know, having to play, you know, when you're a short guy going against these tall guys, you kind of got to do a lot of jumping and a lot of sliding. It's not very easy on the knees. So I do not have good knees. I can guarantee you that much.
Center back is the catcher's position of soccer. It's like yes. You're never going to.
Nick's never been two-footed by an Englishman.
Yeah,
yeah. You either last forever, a la Tim Ream, or you only play for a couple of years and you're done.
Got the American dream, Tim Ream. When's he coming to Spurs? He's having a resurgence.
I don't think so. I think he's going to retire at Fulham. He said he's going to try to play at the top flight for as long as he can. And the moment he can't play top flight is the moment he's just hanging up the boots.
The thing is that he was in the championship. I've watched him play in the championship before with Fulham, and he was one of the worst players in the field. So I think he's literally in his moonlight. Like he's in his twilight right now, and I think he will retire at Fulham.
Yeah. I don't know how much longer he has left, but if he could keep playing the way he is, even for just another year or two,
yeah.
I respect him wanting to be able to play at the top level and compete at the top level for as long as possible, because now he has a chance to do that. But also, I hope the most success for him, just because he is also a St. Louis boy. So that there's so many players and now coaches that came out of this town, like Pat Noonan, for I believe he's at FC Cincy right now. Yeah, he also played in St. Louis. Just so much history in this town. It there's literally a book on it called Soccer Made in St. Louis that they just made a second edition of it. It's really worth the read if you have time and are really into that deep dive fun fact stuff.
It would have been a shame if they should have called it Soccer Capital.
I think that would have gotten an actual legal battle. They can't just change the name of a book.
Right. Since we have you here and you're a Spurs fan, Antonio Conte, obviously out the door. They say it's by mutual agreement. Do you think it was mutual, and sort of where does it leave that team?
I think it was about as mutual as you can be when both people want it to end, but no one wants it to be because they're the bad guy in the situation. Conte, I think he had some very real criticisms of the team, and I can't fault him too much.
Put it.
But at the same time, Levy also can't have his coach lambasting the entire club like that and get away with it. So I knew it was coming. It was just a matter of time.
Well, that's my quick follow-up is like a matter of time. Like if your coach is coming out and saying that immediately, is that not like a, okay, tonight you're gone or tomorrow morning you're gone? Like it felt like they lingered on that for a week.
My guy was on the plane the next day.
I have no idea. I think he knew full and well that he was out after he said that. And that's why he jumped on the plane. But it was just a matter of getting everything together to make sure that they, you know, they don't have to pay him out too much because they cut his contract.
Yeah.
But
they consulted the lawyers in Kansas.
No. Next thing you know, Peter Vermes gets fired and they bring Conte in to coach Sporting Kansas City. That would inject some life over there. But no, I think where this team ends up is it's going to be a rough last couple weeks coming down to the end of the season. But ultimately it's going to be next. I'm already looking forward to next season with whoever we bring in as coach. Word on the street is Pochettino might be coming back. They've already talked about Nagelsmann, who just got fired on his holiday as well. And they're talking about bringing him in. Personally, I'd like Pochettino back because I think he did not get the player support that he needed in his first run at Spurs. But now with all the spending that Conte convinced them to do, he might be able to really take this team to another level like he did the last time, but this time find another gear past that.
Yeah.
I have a prediction for who your next coach will be, but it's a bit of a conspiracy, and I'm fully aware of that. West Ham are about to can their coach, and he's the worst coach in the Premier League. And Moisey is going to be looking for – he doesn't have to move. He's in town. No, like, relocation costs involved, and they're just going to hire him. You'll have David Moyes. You'll be mid-table next year, no problem. That's – this happens. You got to call me, okay? If not, legal counsel is coming. All right, like you heard, I just trademarked that. You heard it here first.
I don't know if I can accept a mid table no problem finish. Though is the thing. I've gotten taste of Champions League football, and I don't want it to go away.
Yeah. I don't blame you, but that's Moyes. That's looks like Daniel Levy is not happy with winning, so he took his best coach and was like. Made him unhappy, and now he's. I just think it's a weird move to lose your coach, even with your momentum. Right, he got them to where they are.
Right,
you would have thought they'd just stick it out at this point. 3 months.
Yeah, I mean, I never understood firing a coach in the middle of a season, especially when you're fighting for a spot in a European competition. Period. There are some disappointing results. You're going to have that with any team in any season. In any league, in any sport, really. So I never understood firing coach midseason unless you were doing really, really well in the first half and then literally the wheels fall off the bus. Not to dig the knife a little deeper, but a la Charlotte and FC Cincy, where they had some promising starts, but then they just completely fell off the face of the planet.
That game would be a time to fire a coach. I mean, I'm looking. It's funny because I'm looking for when St. Louis comes to Charlotte, and I'm clicking on the box score for when y'all beat us 3-1. And I mean, just like going back through it, like that Bill Tuiloma own goal. I mean, just it looked like Sunday League. It was a Sunday League own goal, and just the Joao Klaus.
Yeah, had to really just. I really feel for you guys because I've seen some very upsetting own goals. I felt really, really embarrassed for you guys when that happened. That is not Bill Tuiloma at all. And I cannot believe he just made that mistake.
And
we're going to take it and run with it.
And Milanda, who had the assist for Joao Klaus's goal, I mean, he seems to have kept up his poor form, and he's still been bad since that game. So you guys were on fire. I mean, you guys were a pleasure to watch, definitely. It was a good game.
The only thing I really enjoyed watching the game for both sides. The only thing I had a problem with was I felt Enzo Capetti was a bit too much of a whiner, but you're going to find that anywhere.
He's like, see, I'm a Liverpool fan. So I've got Darwin Nunez in England. And then I've got Enzo Capetti in my hometown. So when we sign Enzo Capetti, I'm like, he's a Darwin region. He is literally, it's like, I mean, you put them both off top, they might start World War III with whoever they play. So,
goodness. That'd be hilarious.
It would be. A couple of red cards, but, you know.
So, obviously, big U.S. men's national team fan as well?
I'd say so. There was a bit of time there where just before and just after the missed World Cup cycle that I was kind of out of the loop, but I was also busy with other things. But I've recently gotten back into following them and getting back into, you know, who's up on up for the squad and who's not, who's coming up. But there was also that whole missed golden generation of players that really could have done a lot better, but seemed to not live up to their potential, a la Mixed Discarude. Number one name that comes to mind when I think of that missed generation. Well, Zusi got his moment to shine on that national team, but he's way too old now. I'm surprised he's still playing, period. But but no, that having him and Beasler on that back line was actually fantastic to watch, and I really enjoyed that. But now we have the Robinsons. We have Tim Ream, who's still somehow kicking at international level. And then Dest is just an absolute monster on that right side. I love watching him play and fly up that wing all day long.
Yeah. Would it surprise you to know that as we speak, U.S. men's national team is playing El Salvador and they're tied 0-0?
Oh, I thought you were about to say we're losing.
Oh my God. I was like, okay, I know the game's on. I don't have Peacock, so I can't watch it.
Oh, it's on TNT.
It is. FODMOB said it was only on Peacock. Okay.
Sean, you know, FODMOB enjoyer.
I should know by now that FODMOB has its glitches and misses a ton of stuff. So I should have known that they'd miss.
They've been my go-to source, I think, since like sixth grade.
Same. I have been following them since I have been using FODMOB since I started following MLS back in 2012 when I went out to college and started following SKC.
Nice. I've almost considered, like, you know, they have like a, you can like get like FODMOB supporters club. $8 a year. Here's what you get for $8 a year.
It's like Twitter verified.
You can remove the ads. Okay, there's not a lot of ads anyway. And your Apple iOS logo, you can change to a different color. It's like you don't get anything. But it's like I love them so much that I want to, like, hey, you have given me so much joy for like 15 years of my life. Like here's $8. Like you can have it.
Take my wallet.
I don't know if I'd pay for that, but I do use them for a lot of keeping up to the minute on most things, but sometimes their injury reports are never up to date. They're always a poor gauge of how long someone's actually going to be out. I usually use it for it's a good catch for a lot of like articles to read about the teams that you follow. So I mostly use it for that. And then, you know, to check scores, cause it usually has the scores right. But I completely thought it said only on Peacock and Univision, but I don't have that channel.
Yeah, no, so that's what it says for me too.
Spanish channel.
FODMOB hates TNT.
Univision was
It had it right on the last one on the match on I believe it was Friday. They had it right, and it was on TNT, and I got to watch that one from the jump. So,
yeah, that was a good match though. I mean, if you're a US fan, 7-1, most goals away that we scored in
so bad
ever,
for
I think.
In that one.
Yeah, kind of felt like 1981 all over again. Like it was bad for them.
I tried to think of Joe. I tried to think, well, you know, the video I sent around to everyone, it's like the clip from Wolf of Wall Street. It's like this is a Grenada case.
Yeah.
It's like we literally cannot fuck this up.
We can.
It was actually a great shot, and like we gave it away at the top of the box, and I'm like, oh brother, here we go.
Yeah, and it wasn't like
it's gonna be a slugfest.
Yeah, yep. it was what was it, 2-1 at that?
I think it was 2-1, and I was like, oh, shit.
Yep,
like,
yeah, no. Yeah, yeah, it was could have been something, but it wasn't. We half jokingly said in our group chat, Ben, what did you say? It was like Greg Berhalter would have gotten his shoes dirty if we went to that match. Like,
pitch was a little
a little risque.
My favorite
it
was
could have
the
been better for sure.
Yeah, there was like some people that had like a seat that was kind of like on the corner of the track, and there was like the netting for like shot put or something that was still hanging up.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not great.
But hey, you got to play with what you got, and if you've got an international game and that's the biggest stadium you have, you got to use it.
However, it looks fun. I mean, there was a decent contingent of traveling U.S. fans. I assume there's not a lot of U.S. fans living in Grenada, or they went down there for vacation. I mean, that's not a bad away game.
Yeah.
It's not, I mean,
yeah, make a week out of that one.
They got beaches.
Yeah, turn it into a whole trip.
Yeah, why not?
Did you guys see England beat the Ukraine, which is like the meanest thing England's done in a qualifier in a long time?
Yeah.
Leave it to England. Did Kane at least score?
Of course he did. He takes PKs.
Okay, good. Harry Kane scored. That's all that matters. England can lose 6-1, and if their only goal came from Kane, that's all that matters to me.
That's pretty funny. Yeah.
The only soccer jersey I own with a player's name on the back is a Tottenham Harry Kane jersey. Wow. The only one with a soccer player's name on it.
I have about 8 ones with Steven Gerrard on the back, and I think I want to get another one. So
okay, that's fair, but also... Yeah. I don't like the fact that you have multiple Gerrard jerseys.
Oh, I have multiple.
But hey, yep. I'm not one to judge there.
Did you see Steven Gerrard celebrating in front of the Celtic fans this weekend?
So that was so funny. That was so the one video that did not make its rounds very well was when he was going to take a corner. And he was like kind of – it looked like he was kind of giving him the Vickies a little bit. Or like he was doing – I got to keep my hands. He was doing some certain gestures to the Celtic fans. Like he was really going at him. And it's like, you know, yeah, I know he was at Rangers. But, you know, he was having fun with it, which I as a avid Steven Gerrard fanboy, I was laughing it up.
All right. I got one last question for you, Sean.
All right.
So every episode we do something called Trash Takes, but when we get our special guests on, and for some reason there's more Tottenham fans on this show than
we're growing stronger every
where
day.
Where do you feel? Where do you think Spurs are going to finish at the end of this year?
Spurs. Let's see. We've got how many weeks left? Eight games, I think.
Thank God.
Yeah, we're getting down to the end of it. Last I remember actively checking the table. It was before this whole legal mess went down, but I believe we were holding on to fourth place by like a point or two, but we had an extra game played. Realistically, a lot of it is going to depend on how well Stellini can actually put together a good starting 11. But realistically, I see us ending up in the Europa at the end of the season and not in Champions League. And I'm going to be very upset about it. But I wouldn't be surprised if they squeak out and barely take that last Champions League spot like they did last year.
I would agree. Yeah. What's happened to good old my favorite ginger from Sweden, Kulusevski? What's gone wrong with him? I loved him at Parma too. I thought he was really good at Parma. And when you guys signed him, I was like, uh-oh, like they've got a player.
I was very excited when he came over and he played really well. I think he was either a knee or ankle injury. And for some reason, Conte was just really hard. He took way too long to get them back in the lineup. And so when he was coming back up, I was hoping he'd play and then it'd be Kane, Kulu, and Richarlison because Son's been absolutely crap in the bed lately. So. Mm. But I was hoping that he'd start as soon as he was ready, but for some reason they kept sitting him on the bench and only coming in as a sub. And I that really hurt his form. Cause I think that hurt his confidence, not being shown the trust of being a starter.
Yeah. And he is the product of one of the best, you know, I love my Liverpool chants. I do think that, you know, to the tune of Gimme Gimme by ABBA, the Kulusevski chant is like my favorite soccer chants of all time. It's very well written, very well in tune. It's perfect. So
I would be I'd be remiss if I didn't mention one that is slowly but surely creeping its way into my top 10. The Luligans actually just put together one to the tune of Santa Claus is Coming to Town when it's about Joao Klaus. And if, you know, nice. Instead of checking the list, checking it twice, if you don't look, if you don't look out, he'll score on you twice. It's so good. I love it. I'll have to get a video and send it to you guys at the next match. But it is perfect, and he's really living up to that name. I love it.
That's perfect.
We're here for it.
Yeah, absolutely. If you could send that to us, send it to us on Twitter. You guys are on Twitter, right?
Yeah.
Funnily enough, River City_show, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. River City_show. And if anyone wants to give us a listen, if you aren't already, you can find us on any major podcatcher, be it Apple, Spotify, Google, however you listen to your shows. we're there.
Perfect.
That's awesome. I have one last piece of parting advice. Sorry, Alex. No. And that is to, you guys should trademark the name at not Kansas City and just leave it at that. And just own that name through and through. Not the real Kansas. I don't know. There's something there. You'll come back to me with a better idea. I'm sticking.
I'll run it by Mike and Mike Mason and Chris and see what they say about it. Who knows? Maybe it'll make the cut and we'll do it as another extra rebrand. If it doesn't, my feelings
are hurt.
Yeah, it feels like a perfect bombshell to end on for with Ben there. At not Kansas City doesn't seem like it's going to take off. At the real soccer capital, that might be one to look into.
Well, that one might be hard to get because there have been plenty of St. Louis City fans that have changed their name to soccer, some variation of soccer capital in their name and in their handle. And so now I have no clue who half of them are anymore, tweeting out stuff about our show. And I'm like
five of
guys,
them.
Just join the Discord so you can use your one nickname and I'll remember you a lot better that way. You know, I'm terrible with names, guys.
That's awesome. That's perfect. And then real quick, what's your handle for everybody if they want to follow you as well?
Mine would be at tomatosoup64. Instead of O's, it is zeros. As you can see, my name is Campbell, and my nickname in high school was Tomato Soup.
Makes a lot more sense.
Which that one stuck with me because everyone called me Chicken Noodle growing up. But then one teacher went with Tomato, and I was like, you know what? It's different. I like it. I'm owning it, and leaned into it.
For you,
that's perfect. See, name changes has happened in across your life, and hopefully this one works out just as well.
Yeah,
Sean, thank you so much. River City Ramble, guys, check it out. Support them. Just an incredible story of what happened. I'm glad you guys are getting success out of this and recognition from it. F Kansas City.
Speak to the man.
Come at me.
I believe there is a hashtag floating around Twitter that is hashtag FSKC. And yeah. I hope and pray that maybe Fox Sports picks it up and realizes, wait a minute. Hold on, we got to have a meeting. I thought we shut down our regional sports networks. What's going on here?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. Well, again, Sean, appreciate your time. Hope you come back on the podcast. Maybe at the end of the Premier League season, we'll talk about Spurs. Maybe they'll finish eighth and you'll be sad.
Yeah.
And you'll come.
Who knows? But yeah, feel free to reach out to myself, Mason, Mike, or Chris. And as long as we're free and we're not tied up in more legal battles, we'll be more than happy to come on.
Perfect.
Trust.
Yeah. We appreciate it, Sean. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. You guys have a great rest of your night.
Thanks. You too. Bye, man. All right, that
sticking
was
perfect. Sticking it to the man. Good for him.
Yeah, such
a great story.
We should do
it
that.
Really is. I mean, honestly, we should find a way to be sued.
Let's do that.
It works out.
My name is now Man United.
Yeah. Then can we talk about how much it failed?
It's so easy to change your at now. It's like we just need to change everything. Our logo, our at. It's like it's just everything. What if we started tweeting? Whatever they tweet, we just copy and paste it.
Did you see that? I sent you guys an unrelated professional troll. He's a comedian and he creates a bunch of Facebook pages. He had a Facebook page as the city of Atlanta and just started posting all these road closures and shit. And people were losing their minds. And then he finally got a cease and desist, if you will. And he made these demands and they were essentially expunge all my tickets and you got a deal.
Yeah, dude, there's no way.
So there's that. All right, guys. Should we look at looking ahead at this weekend and do some trash takes?
We're already there. I just wanted to talk to you, Ben, real quick about what's going on with Man U and their valuation. Apparently, Man United's bids that have been made are below Blazers' valuation of the club.
Yeah, I think they're thrift shopping at this point. I think two things are happening. I think the Glazers being pressured not to sell to Qataris.
I should say real quickly the price that apparently has come through in this second round of bidding is about £4.5 billion. The asking price is around $6 billion.
Yeah. I think the issue is Sir Jim Radcliffe thinks he has leverage because he thinks the Glazers are more likely to sell to him. And I think the Glazers are trying to avoid selling to a Saudi consortium. F you, Nate. How about that?
I've pretty much given up all hope. I've been watching a lot of old highlights recently of Liverpool to fill.
Unrelated. I was talking about the person that commented and didn't give you a shout out. Wes, his name's Nate. Nasty Nate is pretty cool. But yeah, I think the issue is they no one wants to pay asking price. And I also think United might not actually be that interested in selling. Like, part of me thinks it's just an offer show to get through the season. And then at the end of the season, they're like, yeah, we're going to stay in.
Yeah. It'd be interesting. I don't know. It feels like something that's going to happen over the summer, if anything really is going to go through. Right. Same with Liverpool right now. Right, Nate?
It's been, and here's the thing about Liverpool. It's like, whenever something's in the news about Liverpool, automatically don't believe it, because we operate in the shadows with everything. So I wanted to believe everything about Jude Bellingham, and I want to believe everything about Qatar consortium. But I anything that is being talked about publicly almost never, ever happens. So I don't know. I mean, it's, I kind of like that I'm not going to be let down, but also like, I want to, like, I've heard every summer from FSG, like, oh, this year is going to be our year. We're going to do it this year. And then when it doesn't happen, it's because of lack of Champions League football. So that's really going to piss me off and a lot of other fans off. I don't know if I answered your question. I'm sad.
Sad for you.
That's all right, mate.
Thanks, Ben. Beating you up.
It's rude.
Strange for people listening. They have no idea what we're talking about. All right. Should we just go straight to trash takes?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. Trash takes. So we'll start with April 1st, April Fool's Day. Man City and Liverpool going through just Monday, April 3rd with Everton and Spurs.
I do like Liverpool over City. City are usually bad coming off of an international break.
Yeah.
Liverpool got a lot to play for right now. But I will jump on the bandwagon of trash takes and say that my trash take is Southampton beat West Ham.
I was really looking for one. I was looking at Leeds over Arsenal or Villa over Chelsea, but they're both playing at home.
Yeah.
That meaning Arsenal and Chelsea. So I kind of like, I like Newcastle over United. I'm going to spark the flame here. That's what I like. I see Alex trying not to smile over there. He's there it is. He loves it. He loves it.
It's off of the league.
Not anymore.
Europa League next year, Nate.
Yeah. All right. Okay, Ben. I'm, you know,
done being nice.
I think we surpassed United in total trophies won all time.
How? You guys won the Premier League half a time.
They won pretty much everything in the 80s.
Okay.
You won everything in the 90s.
I think we did it with our, like, with our, when we won the Champions League Club World Cup and the Super Cup. I think, you know, because they count those.
Oh, you won the Super Cup?
Yeah, the Super Cup's legendary, dude. Only the best playing it. Only the best of the best. Super.
It's about,
it's got super in the name as well. So
it's about the same level as the Carabao Cup.
Yeah.
It's like the Careless Cup on an international level.
Yeah. The Careful Cup.
Yeah.
Guys, I just want to say,
you take it. Did you have a take?
Yeah, actually, I'm going with the bottom of the table. Southampton to beat West Ham.
Yeah. You know what's funny, Nate? Is Alex just doesn't listen to me at all. You're the worst.
Was that your take?
Yeah. I think Ben took a few minutes to talk through that take as well. Alex was just like,
F this guy. You don't know what he's talking about.
All right. Then Leeds to draw Arsenal.
That's a good. That was my second choice.
Yeah.
I like that as well.
It's my first choice.
Cool.
The other one was a mulligan. I just want to say, guys, it's 57 minutes into the U.S. El Salvador game. U.S. hit the post once. Stay tuned
for the record
for next week to find out what the full score
was. I feel like trash takes last week. We all said they were going to smoke Granada and then get beat by El Salvador. So far, we're not wrong yet. Let's just throw that out there. And then recap this week's trash takes. We got Southampton over West Ham, Leeds drawing Arsenal, and
what's the last one?
Toon Army to beat Man United. Is that who you said?
I like that one.
Yeah, Jordy's a terrible.
See, Alex, we can be friends. You can pull for my team sometimes too, if you want to.
All right, all right. I'm changing my trash take. Liverpool to beat Man City.
Hell yeah!
But only to become fifth place. Newcastle to be fourth.
Fickle podcast I've ever heard. Well, on that note, guys, as always, it's a great night. Thank you for joining us, and thank you to our hosts and guests and everyone. Because I forgot what I was going to say there. And bye. Bye for now. Ta-ta.
Thank you. Keep it hard, though. Ricardo. Kill me back. Kill me back. Kill me back. Ricky Ricardo. Kill me back. Kill me back. Kill me back. Ricky Ricardo.